Thank you for joining me today. This is Friday, and so our week together is coming to a close. What a week it has been. I have learned much in preparing this for you, and I hope and pray you'll agree with me that you have been enriched by what the Word of God is saying through the Spirit of God to your mind, heart, soul, and then out from there to your mouth, hands, and feet as you put the Bible into practice wherever you live. We started this week focused on the first part of the seventh verse of Revelation chapter 1 with an outline. At the start, I want to read this verse and then remind you of the outline before we finish off today on the last point. In the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1 and verse 7, John the Apostle writes, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen." On Monday, we'll return here and deal with "every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen." But this week, we're focused on the little phrase at the beginning of this, which is major. This is the second coming of Christ. It always is amazing to me that God can make the most profound statement with the shortest amount of words. And that is what he does here again. Now, here was our outline for this great truth, the second coming of Christ. First, we talked about why the second coming of Christ matters to us in our lives. Second, I demonstrated for you that the second coming of Christ is a major theme of Scripture. Third, I proved to you from the Gospels that Jesus himself predicted his own return. On Wednesday, we saw that Christ's first coming was a mission of grace to take away the sins of those who accept Christ. But his second coming is a mission of judgment to condemn those who reject Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And then yesterday we confirmed biblically Christ's humiliation must result in his exaltation. I told you, we've discovered a lot. And that brings us to today and the final part of our little outline. What is the significance of Christ coming with the clouds? I'll get to that in a second, but just a quick reminder, if you missed any of the broadcasts this week, or if you'd like to hear them again, just go to 590amtheword.com and click podcast at the top of the homepage. That's 590amtheword.com and click the link for podcasts. God is, will be there. You can listen to each podcast as many times as you'd like for free, and you can also share these with people you know. Pass along what you're learning to others. If you have any questions about how this works, email me today, mark@markaswallow.com, and I'll be glad to help you. We post the podcast there for your benefit. I hope you will take advantage of these. As we now know, the text says, Jesus is coming with the clouds. And that prompts the question, what do clouds in Scripture symbolize? What are they a symbol of? The answer is God's presence. Do not get too discouraged on a cloudy day. Just look up and remember that in the Bible, clouds symbolize the presence of Almighty God. Or if you are in a cold climate like here in New England, when you look up at that winter blue sky and just see one cloud, big and fluffy, hanging around up there, remember the Word of God and put that cloud in context. And so let's look into the Bible and find where the clouds symbolize the presence of Almighty God. And of course, we begin where you might expect me to begin if you know your Bible well, and that is in Exodus and the wilderness. Exodus is the second book of the Bible, and it is marvelous. It's pure gold. I love, love, love this book. And in particular, some of the most stunning passages in all of the Bible for me are right here, and that is because of the way holy God communicates with his unholy people. As long as I've been able to read the Word of God, as a child, I've been fascinated by the reality that God spoke to Moses. God communicates. And in the first half of the passage I have in mind, clouds served as the way the Lord relayed instructions. Let me read this and you'll see what I mean. This is Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 to 22. The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day and led them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Here are the people of God on the wilderness march, and how are they supposed to know which way to go? It's not like there are streetlights in the desert. In addition, when you read the whole chapter, you will see that God took them on an unexpected route, not by the closer way through the land of the Philistines, but rather through the wilderness to the Red Sea. The pillar of cloud was a single column of cloud during the daylight, which became fire by night, and it was associated with the angel of God that we read about in Exodus chapters 14 and 23. God's presence was with the ancient Israelites on their long walk out of Egypt. And then fast forward in Exodus to chapter 19 and 20, and the giving of the law by God to Moses. Exodus 19, verses 16 through 17 says, "And so it came about on the third day when it was morning, that there were thunder and lightning and flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain." God's presence is there by the thick cloud. And Exodus 20, verse 21 says, "So the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was." Wow, the thick cloud is where God was. Again, his mighty presence is in the clouds. And then just keep on reading in Exodus. This is addictive. Trust me, it beats the quote-unquote bestseller in fiction that you've been reading before bed. The book of Exodus, we continue along now to chapter 33, and here the Lord is speaking with Moses in the tent of meeting. This is Exodus 33, verse 9. "Whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses." And the same was true. Yahweh's presence in the cloud when we get to the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 40, the final chapter. I'll just read verse 34. This is Exodus 40, 34. "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." And yes, God's presence again fills the temple via the cloud. Listen to 1 Kings 8, verses 10 through 12. "It happened that when the priests came from the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord." That's 1 Kings 8, verses 10 through 12. Awesome. Well, did you know this? Have you seen this before in the Old Testament? I hope you're getting the picture. There is a strong correlation between Jesus' second coming with the clouds and the presence of God being in the cloud in Exodus and 1 Kings, as you have heard the word of God read to you. But let's also turn now into some other texts in the New Testament in addition to the Revelation. For example, in the first chapter of Acts in the 9th verse, that's Acts 1:9, this describes the ascension, the going back to heaven of Jesus Christ after his resurrection and time spent with the disciples. Let me read this verse, Acts 1 verse 9, for you. "And after Jesus had said these things, Jesus was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight." What received Jesus out of their sight? The cloud did. And so we can say with accuracy out of the word of God that Jesus ascended to heaven with the clouds, and he will descend from heaven to the earth in his final return with the clouds. It's the clouds again, you see. And we've recently talked together about the rapture of the church, the sudden and unpredictable snatching away of Christians from the earth the moment that God has determined to do so, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And in verse 17, listen again for the clouds. This is 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17. "Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord." And what a promise, Christians within the sound of my voice. If we are alive at the split second, we will be caught up together with those believers who are already dead and have resurrected, and we will meet where? In the clouds. We will meet the Lord in the air. There are the clouds of his presence again, this time written about in the New Testament. Well, this will give you a new way to think about clouds, or refresh your memory of the biblical symbolism of the clouds. Isn't it remarkable how we could spend our 5 days together this week on just the first part of only one sentence of the Bible? We've shared so much together from just this phrase, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds." And there was still more I wanted to share with you that I had to edit out because our time is so limited. Time flies when we are filled with such joy reading and really getting into the Bible and studying it. That's why I have a great fondness for cross-referencing, seeing how the scripture says something about clouds in one passage, and it says the same thing in another passage, sometimes hundreds of pages away, flipping backwards and forwards, all across the very word of God, from him to us. This is a privilege and an honor, and I hope to inspire the reading of his word and obedience to it in your life. And so this weekend, pick up the Bible and read it. We'll be right back in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 on Monday. But give thought to what we've discussed this week. Go back and listen to the podcast if you'd like. Our minds are constantly bombarded with much content every day. And so we need space and time to think about what we're learning that is important. Give yourself territory to think, to pray, to mull over Bible teaching. And then come back again on Monday as we continue to learn together who God is.